Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Kiel Boer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we kicked off a brand new series that we're calling Joyride. We're working our way through the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Philippians, which is the outstanding New Testament letter of joy. Paul references the word or some form of the word joy or rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord 16 times throughout the letter. This Sunday, we actually started by going to Acts 16 to talk about how did the church at Philippi really get started. And so we saw there that three different people were really highlighted. There was a woman named Lydia who gets converted. There was a slave girl that is delivered from demonic oppression or possession. And then there's a jailer, a Philippian Gentile jailer, who is saved as well, he and his family. And I want to just highlight something that happened there. So Paul and Silas and his companions are preaching the gospel throughout Philippi. And when Paul exercises a demon out of the slave girl, her owners, the people who own her, see that she no longer predicts the future, and they see, I mean, we're not going to make money off of this person anymore. They are furious with Paul and Silas, and so they drag he and his companions before the magistrate, the Roman officials, and they accuse them of things they didn't really do, but they sort of play on the fact that Paul and his companions are Jews, and they say these guys are Jews and they're doing things that aren't lawful for Romans. And Philippi was a very Roman, a very Greco-Roman city, and Roman citizenship was a big deal there. And so, you know, they're playing on that, and they get the mob, the crowd sort of whipped up, and the magistrates actually order Paul and Silas and his companions to be beaten. And so they get a beating, a physical beating, and then they put them in prison. And from prison, it says they begin to sing. They're praying and they're singing to the Lord after being beaten. And then in verse 26, it says, suddenly there was a violent earthquake, such a violent earthquake, and this is Acts 16, that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. And the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. His life would likely have been demanded by the Romans, by his bosses, for letting the prisoners escape. But verse 28 says, but Paul shouted, don't harm yourself. We're all here. And the jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved, you and your household. And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. And then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. And so one of the things that I highlighted just on Sunday that I'll highlight right now is this reality that, you know, Paul and Silas, maybe some of his companions, they've been beaten, they've been falsely accused, they've been put in prison, and then they begin to sing and they begin to pray. And the earthquake comes, and I could imagine that you would think in that moment, oh, that's why we've been put in here. So God's going to do this earthquake, and now we get to escape. And really what's happening here, they do get to escape, but the bigger deal is that the jailer comes in, and upon seeing what has happened, he says, guys, what must I do to be saved? And I think about the fact that, you know, had they like bolted, had they run for the doors and said, we need to escape, we need to get out of this adversity as quickly as possible, you know, they might have missed the opportunity to get to witness to this man and what God, be a part of what God was doing in his life. And so the thing I said on Sunday is God advanced his kingdom through their discomfort. God advanced his kingdom through their discomfort, through their adversity. There's something so much bigger going on here than just what Paul and Silas are experiencing. God's actually using what they're going through to reach the Philippian jailer. And the Philippian jailer and his family not only get saved, but presumably are probably kind of like founding members of the church there at Philippi. God is advancing his kingdom through what his people are going through, the difficulty that his people are going through. And the same is true in your life and in mine. And it's not a perspective that we often get or really ever get outside of the Lord, outside of the Christian framework, and this idea that, hey, what I'm going through, it's not meaningless, it's not purposeless, and it's not even just about my own personal development. Though it is that, God is using everything that we go through in our lives to shape us into the image of Christ, but also that God is impacting other people through what we're going through. One commentator said it so well. He said that the earthquake wasn't so much about saving Paul and Silas as it was saving the jailer and his family. God is working through our lives to bless and to save and to change others. And knowing that, seeing that, has, I think, the real potential to change how we view adversity and how we view pain and suffering. I'm not saying it makes it pleasant. I'm sure what Paul and Silas were going through was not pleasant. I can only imagine how much that hurt and how uncomfortable it was. And they're in prison. They've been beaten. And at the same time, when we go through adversity, when we go through difficulty, knowing, man, God is shaping me through this, and God is growing his kingdom. God may be doing stuff in other people's lives. He is doing stuff in other people's lives that oftentimes we may not even be able to see. God is advancing his kingdom through what we experience, through the difficulties that we go through and that he walks us through. And I think, again, that has the opportunity, has the potential, the power to really shape differently how we view difficulty, not just asking, how do I get out of this, but rather asking, or in asking maybe in addition to that, or primarily asking, Lord, what all are you doing through this? Let me pray for you, and I want to encourage you to take a moment and pray for yourself. Father, we love you, and God, I thank you that you don't waste anything in our lives, and that, Father, not only are you shaping us more into the image of Jesus through the difficulties that we face, through the adversity we go through, and the discomfort of our lives, but, Father, you're also working through us in the lives of others. We thank you for seeing that in examples in Scripture and moments like this. God, I'm sure many of us have experienced that personally. And Father, when we go through those moments, help us to remember you are at work in big, big ways. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take a moment right now just to take some time to reflect and to pray.